Brian Gillette of the big Free FM, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, talking to other places as well. Person came up to me after the show, after the Penn and Teller show at the Rio last night, and said that there should be a Michael Goudeau Monday.
Because of my mom?
She wanted to hear.
Check her idea.
She wanted to hear you talk for the whole for a whole Monday.
Yeah, well.
And I answered her, of course, very politely, no.
Yeah, not a chance in hell.
No, that's not going to happen. There won't be a Michael Goudeau Monday.
I don't think so.
Thank you for inviting us to the birthday party.
We had a Michael Goudeau Sunday.
We had a Michael Goudeau Sunday. We sure did. Michael's daughter, Emily Peach, was how old? Five?
Five.
5 years old. And we went out to some psycho with wearing chaps.
We had a pony party.
Yeah. That means so many different things. If you don't have kids, a pony party is a whole different thing, Goudeau. But
it leads right into our topic for today, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. First, I want to say, you know, goodbye to CBGB Umfug, which had its last show last night. Put Patti Smith on the cover of the New York Times, which is pretty boss. And I wanted to do, like, you know, the whole show on CBGB stories, but we do go out to Chicago and D.C. And what are the clubs there? I mean, I know that San Francisco, when I was there, it was the Mabuhay Gardens. CBGB and Max's was in New York City. I forgot where I played in Chicago. My band, a couple punk bands I was in, played Chicago. I forgot the name of the club. And the 930 Club was in D.C., right? The 930 Club is a great club. I could not stand up. Probably still there. 930 Club's still there, I think. I couldn't stand up on the stage straight. I had a hunch over while I was playing my bass. 866-570-PEN. 7366 is the phone number. I was hoping people would call in with CBGB stories, but I have a fallback position. I have another subject we can go to. But 866-570-PEN-7366. You know, every time my daughter, Moxie, and my son, Zoltan, each have CBGB Umfug T-shirts, and people still ask what it stands for. And according to Hilly, who is the owner of it and who named it, I've heard many different things. But what they say here in the New York Times, the paper of record for punk clubs, it stands for Country, Bluegrass, Blues, and Other Music for Uplifting Gourmandizers. Gourmandizers? Like gourmand. I know the word gourmand, which means people who eat too much, right? Gourmandizers. Is that right?
I'll go with that.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's CBGB Umfug. I always thought it was country, bluegrass, blues, original music, folk, and underground is what I always thought it was. But I was wrong, which is why you can know right away you're listening to the Penn Jillette Show, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. And they're talking about moving CBGB out here to Las Vegas. There's something about having a CBGB on Fremont Street, where I don't know.
And you're saying they're going to do this London Bridge thing? They're going to take it apart?
How come every time you come around, like, London Bridge, you want to go down? Is that what you're talking
about? That's what I'm talking about.
You're going to bring Fergie out here? you mean take it apart brick by brick? I don't know. It says, but of course, the person they're quoting on this whole thing is Lenny Kay, you know, the guitar player for Patti Smith. So I don't know how much he knows about, it's like we've grown our own barnacles, so he says. You couldn't replicate the decor in a million years, and dismantling all those layers of archaeology of music in the club is a daunting task. But the CBGB's symbolic legacy may far outweigh the value of its graffiti and its notorious urinals. So I guess they're going on all sorts of different ideas there. I agree with Patti. Of course, I often agree with Patti, except when she talks politics. Patti says that CBGB is a state of mind. And that's just a terrific thing to say when something's dying and you don't like it, but you're not willing to do anything. You just say, it's a state of mind.
She could buy it.
You could buy it. Well, no, you know, it's part of a big building that's also a homeless shelter. And they did everything they could to try to solve that. But it's a lot. You'd have to buy a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. 866-570-PEN-7366. We got a lot of stuff today. I want to get to this article that calls me an idiot. I mean, not that that's special, but there's an article from Reason. This was in the Review Journal, but I've also got the original Reason Foundation article that people who drink socially make more money.
10% more.
Yeah, I've never had a drink in my life, and it's telling me in this article that if I did some social drinking, I'd make 10% more. And 10% more is not peanuts.
Just, yeah, have you done the math on that? How much more would that be for you?
That would be hundreds of dollars, hundreds. And it also says that women who socially drink take home 14% more. But it doesn't say what. It doesn't say money.
Yeah.
It doesn't say 14%
more. Take home 14%
more.
And
we're going to be talking about that, but I want to take a... We've also got a song sent in by a listener. I'm not going to play it now. Don't panic, Patrick. You can stay on the phones. But I'll take a couple of calls on CBGB Umfug. Let's talk to Tim. What's up, Tim?
How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing very well, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, I heard back in the day that CBGB's was named after the chord progression CBGB, but uh-huh. if you play CBGB, it really doesn't sound good together. So I don't know how credible that is.
No, if CBGB you'd be going into a major seventh chord as your second chord, and
right.
then you go to your fifth, and then back to the seventh. I don't think there's a way that's the chord progression. And then when you get to Umfug, what are you going to do? When you play that old chord, the M chord, then you use a while before you get to the F, and then you just end again with a G. So maybe say it's in the key of G, and then your B is a minor third there. I mean a major third, and I don't even know where you'd want to go with that. But so. I think you're wrong. I think probably Hilly is right when he says, just want to memorize this. Country, bluegrass, and blues, and other music for uplifting gormandizers. So,
I got an idea for you, Penn, too. Listen, you know how you call your house the Slammer?
That's correct.
Did you? Now, Slammer meaning like prison and stuff like that. Did you ever think about maybe calling your house the Penitentiary?
Well, you know, that was one of the ones that was considered, but it was named Slammer not after jail per se, but after at USAMRID, the United States Army Research Facility for Infectious Diseases, which I was given a tour of. There's a place there that is the isolation room called the Slammer, which if you are dissecting, let's say an AIDS monkey, and their femur breaks and it goes through your suit and into your arm, while they're waiting to see. I guess you wouldn't do that with AIDS because you know how it's transmitted. But if you've got something like Ebola Zaire, they would take you to that room. It's only been used once, and it was used by the guy who designed it, who designed the Slammer, and said that people, if they had any sort of cut whatsoever, any sort of nick with a level 4 agent, they had to go into the Slammer for something like 6 weeks. He designed it. He put all the protocols in place. And then he, I believe, dissecting some animal, a femur, went through his suit, and he got a little scratch, and he kept telling people, no, I'm okay. I really didn't catch it. And they put him in the Slammer for 6 weeks, which was over Christmas and New Year's, where his family had to sit outside this little window and look at him in this little room. And I thought it was
awesome.
I thought it was so, so cool that I named my house the Slammer. But the Penitentiary.
That is awesome, Penn. And hey, thanks for providing me with countless hours of entertainment and just a pleasure to talk to you. And I areas rule, all right?
Thanks so much, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Well, you also left out the Penderosa.
Mm. The Penderosa was my place in New York. And there was a place called, there was a porno movie called The Pen. P-E-N-N, which was about a penitentiary. That's a porno movie that a friend gave me. When you have a porno movie that has your name on it, it's pretty cool, even if they don't mean you. Let's talk to Neil. How you doing, Neil?
Hey, Penn, good. How you doing, buddy?
Doing very well, thanks. What's up?
Another Las Vegas here. Mm-hmm. I heard on the radio, as a matter of fact, the station I'm listening to now, that CBGB's is actually going to be torn down and brought to Las Vegas as a museum.
You know, I heard that too, and I was going to report that as being accurate, but the paper of note, the New York Times today, seems to not know what they're doing here. It says, the quote here, the office of Mayor Bloomberg, blah, 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 blah. I'd love to have the place here, Mr. Crystal said. If not here, then I'd love to have it in Las Vegas. I'm going to keep it active no matter what. The club's interior, an aired corridor with a bar on the right and the stage in the back, stalactites of grime dangling from the ceiling, and miles of ancient posters and graffiti all around, is almost as cherished as music. And they're talking about how hard it would be to move it out brick by brick. But if they do, every time it comes around, like London Bridge be going down, I'll tell you.
Exactly.
I think it would be a really cool thing to have CBGB here, but I don't know if they're going to do that, so we'll hold up.
Yeah. Okay. I even heard they were going to bring in the urinal.
Yeah,
they're bringing everything from the front door to the urinal.
Have you been to CBGB?
No, that's one place I haven't been to.
Well, my good friend, Debbie Harry, we were there one night, and she was going to sing with the band. I was going to play bass and say, I think we're going to do the most psychotic, incestuous, hostile, codependent song ever recorded, which is Something Stupid by Nancy Sinatra and Frank Sinatra. You know, it's just this really weird song to be sung by a father and daughter, and it's also so weird because it's so passive-aggressive and an unpleasant song. And Debbie and I were going to sing a duet on stage at CBGB while ponying. We were practicing doing the pony, so we'd be dancing together and singing this, and I was singing the Sinatra part, of course, Frank part, and Nancy and Debbie was singing the Nancy part, and she had the flu that night, and so she said, and I thought this was a great line, she said, "I'm not going to CBGB when I have the flu. I've vomited in those toilets enough." So that's why it should be brought piece by piece out to Las Vegas.
I agree.
You won't find a bootleg of the duet of Something Stupid with Debbie Harry and Ben Gillette because it never happened. I think I went on and sang Close of the Dead. We were the band called Too Much Joy, I believe, which is a wonderful band at CBGB's. A couple of bands I was in played CBGB's. It was just...
They need to bring it just so you and Debbie Harry can do that.
Yeah, then. I guess so. Yeah, finish that. There's some debts that need to be paid. Thanks so much. Thanks so much, man. I guess I can talk about CBGB. I wanted to go to this alcohol thing, but... I love talking about CBGB, you know. It was so great. When I was playing on Broadway, I remember jumping in a limo and zipping down to CBGB so I could jump on stage with half Japanese and play bass. It was a great night. It was just a fabulous night.
I bet your income went up by 10% just for that.
Yeah, just by networking with the
that
drugs.
That was your networking. You weren't drinking, but you were there.
Let's talk to Frank. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Doing very well,
I'm
Frank.
In Chicago, and I think the place you're talking about is the Metro.
The Metro, yeah! I've played the Metro a couple times.
And you'd be down in the basement in the Smart Bar because it's not tall enough for me. I'm 5'10".
Yeah, the Metro. Yeah, the Metro. Is that still going?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they still got good bands?
Oh, yeah, everybody plays there. I mean, anybody who wants to go anywhere has to play there.
Yeah, because I remember when I played the Metro, I was over to one side of the stage playing bass, and someone jumped up on the stage and grabbed me, and I was actually trying to push someone away while I was playing the bass. It was very, very rock and roll.
That would be the Metro.
I played the Metro in Chicago, the 930 Club, which is 930 Club is still there in D.C., right? Or is that Baltimore? It's still there, and then we're losing CBGB, which is a drag. But I'm so glad the Metro's still there. Next time I'm in Chicago, I'm going to go by there.
You know what? Next year they're having their 25th anniversary. They're trying to get all of the employees to come back for a big anniversary.
What, the Metro?
At the Metro, yeah.
Next year?
Next year.
Huh.
That's what it says.
Maybe. Well, if they remember me, maybe they'll invite me. let's see what the Metro says. I think they probably don't remember I played there because it was only a couple nights, but it was a wonderful thing. Thanks so much, Frank. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. I don't know. You know, I really wanted to go to this alcohol story, but I'm having 15, 16. You know what I want to do right now? I might come back to the CBGB thing. I might go alcohol. Who knows what I might do? But get ready for this, Patrick, because I want to play this. You know, we mentioned a while ago that November 12th, 13th, and 14th here at the Slammer, we're going to have about 20 people over for a party to watch all of 24. We're not going to watch it in 24 hours, but it'll be broken up because we have to do shows in between. And I mentioned that maybe a listener would be able to come over to the house and watch with us. So that'd be nice. We've gotten some wonderfully charming letters. An FBI guy called and said he'd be there to give us accuracy. He's talking to her friend Kim from the show who is considering coming by. And we had this guy who, as a plea to come over to the house, sent this song. And sit back. You know, we don't usually play music. This is about 3 minutes long.
This is from Robert,
This is from Robert. And it made me laugh a little bit. It's so sweet. Here is here is a song begging me to let Robert watch 24 at the Slammer this year. Take it away, Patty. Hit the button.
If I had 24 hours to live, I'd spend it with women who were willing to strip. And if I had 48 hours to go,
it gets better. Hold on.
I'd spend half of it watching that show. So, Angelette, won't you let me watch 24 with you? Micah Doe, don't you know how much I love that show? I'd be a good house guest, I promise not to make a mess. If you'll let me see the Slammer, I'll treat it in a respectful manner. I love magic, jazz, clowns, juggling, libertarians. I love handguns too, but I can't own one because I'm Canadian. So, Angelette, won't you let me watch 24 with you? Micah Doe, don't you know how much I love that show? I've never seen season 5. Will Jack Bauer make it out alive? I can't wait another day. That's why the show is so great. I love Vegas, Teller, the Rio, CBS, and Free FM.
Yeah.
But I have to podcast your show because I'm Canadian. So, Angelette, won't you let him watch 24 with you? Micah Doe, don't you know that it's his favorite show?
There. That's the end. It ends on the Mike Goodell favorite show. Okay, I was scared there for a second. Patty was holding his finger up to cue me, and I thought, isn't there the finish to that? I just thought that was charming and sweet and is something like could be played at CBGB. I'm tying everything together and certainly could be played while drunk. I might take a few more calls after this on CBGB, but also there's this great story that's out that says social drinking will make you richer, make you more money, 10% more if you hang around drunks, which means there's a lot of money that we're leaving on the table here, Goodell, by being non-drinkers. And I've been non-drinker forever, and you too, right?
Yep.
So there's we've really lost a lot of money. When I think about my career and 10% more all the way over that, I get pretty sad. But anybody wants to call up with a story about CBGB or the Metro in Chicago or the 930 Club, which is either in Baltimore or Washington, someone will know the answer to that. And especially if you have a story about networking and having success while drunk at CBGB and thinking about coming over to my house to watch 24. Jack always says try to get it down to one question. So the question is, what stories do you have about being drunk and networking at CBGB, Metro, or the 930 Club while thinking about watching 24 at my house? 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Now, there's a bass player that played CBGB. That's Pendulette on bass. Pendulette here talking, sitting with Michael Goodell. We're on the Free FM, CBS FM, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have letters on your telephone. PennRadio@gmail.com. If you want to send us a Gmail, that's PennRadio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, @gmail.com. And PennRadio.com is the website where is there someone that can put up the Hey, Pendulette, can I watch 24 with you song? Someone should be able to put that up, right?
Yeah, sure.
Emily can
I don't
do
know
that
who does
something.
It. We've
somebody
lost
can
all
do
of
that.
Our...
We should have that. We should have that up there. There's this article on social drinking that I want to get to, but there are so many calls about CBGB. I might take a few of those, and I don't want to make this a New York centric show. I know Chicago, you're listening. I count the Metro into. As a matter of fact, the three clubs I played a lot when I played those kind of clubs, the 930 Club, which of course any idiot knows is in Washington, D.C. It's not in Baltimore. It's in Washington. The 930 Club in Washington, the Metro in Chicago, the CBGB, of course, in New York City. Out here in Vegas, we have the Sands. and the Mabuhay Gardens in San Francisco. I don't even know what the punk club was, and I guess in what was it in L.A. You know,
no
I guess
idea.
I don't have any idea about that. But let's see. Let's talk to some people about this. Hey, Drew, what's up, man?
Hey, what do you say, Penn? How are things, man?
Things are perfect, man. What's up?
First reason why it shouldn't go to Vegas is that dude calls in and says he just hears now that it was being torn down.
Yeah, well, very good point. Very,
I'm sorry. I mean, I know you said you don't want a New York centric show, but come on. He just hurt now?
I know. That CBGB losing its lease and going out of business is definitely a national story that should have gotten to Vegas. And I apologize for my fellow Vegas people who don't know that. But yes, this has been going on for like 5 years, hasn't it?
I mean, the landlord issues at least a couple of years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I just wanted to pay homage to a friend of mine, Joey Ramone. Him and I worked together. We co-managed a band together called The Independents. And shortly after he passed, I got to go up on that famous stage and say a few words about my friend. And that's certainly a moment I've been reflecting on the last 24 hours. And he was just one of the most stand-up guys, genuine guys I've ever met, and I was lucky enough to know.
Yeah, the Ramones, I knew them. I knew Joey just a little bit. I met them all, but I probably never spent more than an hour talking to any one of them, but I talked to Joey a bit. And just so sweet and so straightforward and so terrific. What I loved about the Ramones was, you know, I guess I saw them about 20 times. And the first time I went to see them, you know, about song 4 or song 5, I went, well, they can't do all the songs in that key and that tempo. It's got to have a change. This is going to get boring. And then by song 8, you kind of gut it and just went, okay, and let it flow over you and really get into it. It was just such a wonderful experience. There's so few entertainments that have come down the pike that are as pure as the Ramones were. It was a clear idea that was just done perfectly, and they never backed away from it. I just loved it.
Yeah, we're losing a legendary spot. And my final comment is my last show there was last September. This band called Nashville, and I don't know what I could say on the air.
Yeah, I know the band, yeah. Nashville something, yeah.
Yeah, one of the greatest rock and roll bands live. And I was right up there front row, sort of tapping my hand the whole show to the beat. I finally looked down, and I realized my knuckles are bleeding. And I said, you know what, that's it. This was brilliant. It was perfect.
That's a beautiful
perfect way
story.
To go out.
That's a great story, man. Thanks a lot, Drew. That's just perfect. You know, going to if you go to a rock club and you don't find that you're bleeding afterwards without knowing it, it hasn't been a good show. I know exactly what he's talking about. I remember scraping against the wall and just not caring. I remember also being in that really stuffy, smoke-filled, filthy club when it would get really hot and wearing my leather jacket the whole night and just kind of soaking through it. I mean, the smell of sweat there was unbelievable. And we're not just talking CBGB. It's a national subject. Make sure that we cover the Metro and 930 Club. Well, the 930 Club has been all dooted up, hasn't it? Isn't it all, like, nice now? I haven't been there in years.
No, I haven't either.
I think I heard it was really, really, really nice now.
We have an email story about it, though, from Stacia.
Okay.
She says the best 930 Club story I have to offer is that I was at the 930 Club in D.C. and Chris Rowe from Ataris told my boyfriend he liked his shirt. So the group of us walked over to the car in the crappy little parking lot that cost us $10 to park in. And her boyfriend took her shirt off and walked back and gave it to him.
Oh, that's so nice. That's a sweet little story. That's a nice little story. I'm going to start telling every woman that comes out of our show at night that I really like her shirt. That's going to be my MO from now on. Let's talk to, is it Baldo?
Yep.
Hey, Baldo, what's up, man?
Hey, nothing. Just calling from work. I think it's a bummer that that they're moving. You know, well, they're shutting down CBGB's,
yeah,
and they're moving it to Vegas, which kind of doesn't really. I don't know if it makes sense. You know, I went there like about 10-12 years ago, I'm glad I had a chance to go and see the club, but I just don't think it makes sense moving it to Vegas. You know.
Yeah, I know. The idea, I just kind of like it to be anywhere, but you can't, what's the F. Scott Fitzgerald? You know, you can't relive the past. Of course you can.
Right.
I'm not quoting that exactly right. I know that because I'm quoting it through Bob Dylan. So, I'm wrong on that. But, yeah, I know. I mean, I just remember, When something like this happens, all that happens is you wish that you'd gone there more when you had a chance. You know, I was doing shows all the time, so I'd only rush down after shows, and sometimes I was tired, and I'm sitting here going, oh, big crybaby was tired. Now you never get to go to CBGB again. But my thought is wherever they put it, it's a nice part of history to be remembered. If they put it in Vegas, even though it's so dead wrong for Vegas, you know, you got Penn and Teller out here, you got the Blue Man Group, there's a little New York City in Las Vegas, so maybe it'll work out okay. But thanks a lot. You're right.
Hey, I was going to ask you. Sure. You mentioned Chicago. Now the Metro's still around. I'm calling from Chicago.
Yeah.
Do you remember a club called Lounge X?
Lounge X.
X. A X E. Yeah, it's it was run by Sue Miller, who's married to the singer from Wilco.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
It was one of the like most popular clubs in the city. And that got shut down because the neighborhood that it was in, Lincoln Park, got too upscale, too, you know, yuppified. Mm-hmm. And basically all these people that moved in after the club had been there for a while started complaining about noise and all this other, yeah. You know.
When you have one of those clubs in your neighborhood, there's going to be noise. No, I never went to Lounge X. But, you know, my time in Chicago, we used to go back there, you know, every year or two. But I never lived there so I don't really know a lot of those things.
Yeah. But the Metro was, Yeah, and it was, you know, it was around back when they were doing like kind of like CBGB's, Sunday hardcore shows, and you'd see, you know, back in the day, you'd see kids like Billy Corgan, you know, and you were talking about networking and stuff. That's how people did it. It's like, you know, you hung out, you met everybody in the scene.
Yep.
And some made it, and some didn't, and, you know.
And what was I thinking going to the Metro sober? But thanks a lot, Baldo. Thank you. I don't know, you look back at those times and go, yeah, I was walking around sober. I was at CBGB in, you know, in the 70s and 80s, and I was stone cold sober.
With Lou Reed.
Lou Reed was later, but I don't think I ever went to CBGB with Lou Reed. I went to the Lone Star to see Jonathan Richman.
Oh, yeah.
With Lou Reed once. That was when the Lone Star was Midtown.
Yeah, well, congratulations. That would be
rock shows.
A fabulous night.
Yeah, that was a fabulous night. And then the three of us went to Carnegie Deli afterwards. So you get more New York than that. But we're also talking about other cities that also have this show.
Yeah.
This is not being New York.
There's
the
Club 950 in Chicago someone emails us about.
A 950 club?
950 club, yeah.
So 930 was marked down from that?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the 10% that they got from being drunk.
Of course, when I was in Chicago, I was working the amusement park, so I didn't actually get
what was the name
Club
of the
950.
What's the name of the amusement park you were?
Great America.
You were
America Park there. Yeah.
Remember those wild nights?
Oh yeah, those wild nights
of
Great America. I was doing like 20 shows a week. I didn't go anywhere.
what kind of were it street shows or on a stage?
No, on a stage. They gave us the Bugs Bunny Theater starring Michael Godeau. And I did really four shows a day, I guess. Five on Saturday, Sunday. It was an ugly job.
How's that come out to be 20 a week?
I don't know. I can't do any math. Yeah, I was permanently damaged.
Yeah, we did. Tell and I did a lot of amusement parks all over the South and stuff. And those like eight show days, you know, when you're outside and the pounding sun and the concrete. Let the Ramones handle that, huh? That's what tough showbiz is.
That's
not
punk.
So we would beg to be in CBGB, beg to be inside, outside in the elements. That's what we would be doing. Let's take another call before the break. Let's talk to Eric. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you?
The best thing about CBGBs was how little respect was paid to anybody who was a celebrity.
Oh, yeah, that's so true, yeah.
I saw Ethan Hawke come in with Uma Thurman, and somebody started hitting on Uma. There was an altercation. Instead of picking the guy, you know, the standard sort of Joes and kicking them out, they kicked Ethan out.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
And did Uma go with him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a sad end of the story.
I know.
I had a whole other thing that involved the CBGB restrooms, but she went out with him, huh?
She did, unfortunately.
Oh, that's such a drag. But at least they threw him out, too, right?
Yeah, that was the best part.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Love the show, Ben.
That's how you prove you're egalitarian. Thanks so much. CBGB, and CBGB, which once again stands for Country, Bluegrass, Blues, and Other Music for Uplifting Gourmandizers. Gourmandizers? I'm going to look that up during the break. We'll be back after this, 866-570-PEN. 7366 is that phone number. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Talking about, I guess we're talking about punk clubs. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette sitting here with Michael Goudeau. We're on the free FM. CBS Radio, 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I guess we've kind of morphed into talking about punk clubs. And it is interesting that, you know, the front page of the New York Times says it's the end of an era for these clubs because CBGB is closed. And yet these clubs are going strong in every other, a lot of other cities. So
and
let's
it's just CBGB's going down. I mean, there will be other.
Oh, sure. There will be other. There's always clubs for dirty teenagers. There's no doubt about that. And people who like dirty teenagers. let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Richard. Hey, Richard.
Yeah. You mentioned Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, I think the club you're thinking about in Baltimore is Hammerjacks.
Hammerjacks! God damn! Oh, boy, did I have fun at Hammerjacks. Wow, yes, Hammerjacks. But Hammerjacks was less of a punk club and more of a heavy metal club, wasn't it?
Someone like that, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I wonder what happened to her. Anyway, Hammerjacks. Do you have a story from Hammerjacks? She just wanted to give me that name.
Well, they moved from where they used to be at on Charles Street. They moved somewhere. I just can't remember where. Mm-hmm. Street.
When I went, it was a huge club with, like, a lot of rooms and,
yes,
like, gymnasium-sized rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge. Okay, well, thanks a lot, Richard, for bringing back that. I'm going to just think about that Hammerjacks memory for a moment. That was nice. I had such fun at Hammerjacks. What was her name?
maybe she'll call.
Maybe she'll call up. Whoever it was that met Penn Jillette at Hammerjacks years and years ago, give us a call. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And I want to just talk to this guy because of his name. Hey, Cosmo, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, babe?
Never been better, boss. Lay it on us.
I'd like to say that, you know, when I'm going to work in the morning at 4:30, I'm hearing rock and roll, and I'm not a talk show kind of guy, but when I'm going home, I never turn you off.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
And I never turn you off. Okay, tell you my story. I was around 25 years old, and I had walked in front of a truck, and I wound up living, and I got enough money to buy myself a yellow cab medallion.
Uh-huh.
And I remember people laughing at me because gas went all the way up to 75 cents a gallon. You know, so but I was a rock and roll nut, and I used to go down to the bottom line, and I would see all sorts of bands there. I would see the Boss. I would see Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band.
Oh, what a great band.
Great band, you know, I don't even know what I saw or heard, but it was so fantastic.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that after the shows would end at the bottom line, I would drive right over about three or four blocks, because I own my own cab, I could do whatever I want.
Sure.
Go to CBGB's, and I would see, like, David Peel and Death, and the Dead Boys, and the Tough Darts. Television many times. I've seen Patti Smith 20 times.
Yeah, and that's not enough, is it?
Yeah, it's really not enough because I remember one time when I saw her 7 days in a row at the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
Every single show was different.
Yeah, she was great. I mean, she was great. She still is great. I saw her about a year ago in New York City at some Polish club out in Brooklyn or something. She was playing some almost like a VFW hall, and it was just that they turned into a club for that night. It was fabulous. She was just really wonderful. Well, thanks a lot, Cosmo. Thanks for listening. I guess I should have asked him more about the accident getting a cab. It sounded like he stepped in front of a car in order to buy the medallion, that it was a direct cause and effect. But maybe that wasn't.
I'm betting taxi drivers don't make 10% more if they drink socially.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think they make 10% more if they drink? Let's take another. And you said during the break that you opened for Joan Jett?
I did. I opened for Joan Jett at another Six Flags amusement park. So if you think punk is outside the norm, there you go.
She was playing Six Flags?
She was playing at Six Flags Park in Houston, Texas, yeah.
Yeah, I went to see, was her name Tiffany? Was there?
Yeah, yeah, Tiffany, sure.
Tiffany, we were playing like a Six Flags type place in like Atlanta or something. And Tiffany was playing. The night before we were playing was like the big arena or something. And Penatelli were playing. And the night before I went to see Tiffany. And I had no idea. I had just been on Miami Vice. And I had no idea that the audience for Penn & Teller was similar to Tiffany, and I got mobbed by Tiffany fans and had to be brought by security for my own safety backstage. So there I was sitting with Tiffany and trying to make small talk before Tiffany went on. And I think it's safe to say that Tiffany and I, nothing in common.
Not a lot.
Nothing in common. I would have been better off talking to a yak. There was no. And I remember her. She saying that she was going to play. She was going to play Florida. She was going to be playing Central Florida a week after. And I said to her, "Well, there might be a shuttle launch. Maybe there's a shuttle launch while you're down there. You should try to get out and go to a shuttle launch." And she said, "What's that? You know, a rocket going into space." And she said, "Well, why would you go to that?" And I went, "So when's the show start? When are you going to be on?"
You know, the week after I opened for Joan Jett, I opened in that same club for John Denver. So that's how well my career was going.
That's the way it should be. It should be one show business, John Denver, Joan Jett, Michael Goudeau, all exactly the same. I've been informed. Just handed to me. We get news quickly here. Just handed to me. Hammerjacks is now a hip-hop club. But that doesn't mean you can't call, whatever your name is. Let's talk to Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Never better, boss.
That's great, man. I think I've stood behind people as tall as you at rock shows.
I know, it's awful. I hate myself. I apologize. I apologize for everybody my size. God damn it, I hate that. I'm at a club, and I know that the poor bastard behind me, some sawed-off freak standing behind me, can't see a thing. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Mike. There'll be a written apology in the Times tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Thank you. You know, I'm in Chicago, and, you know, of course, the Metro was always one of my favorite places. Back in the 90s, I did a lot of interviews for a cable show that I produced here, and the people at the Metro were just the best to us. They would see us coming. They'd get the door for us. They'd let us in, you know, where all the other clubs are like, "Why are you here? You know, who are you supposed to?" I mean, security was so different from club to club, but Metro was just always the most comfortable place for us to go. Saw a lot of great bands there, made a lot of good friends there.
Did drinking help you make 10% more?
No, actually, I don't drink. So
okay, okay, cool.
That didn't help.
So there was someone else in the club who was sober those nights, and I was standing in front of a short guy.
Yeah. And, you know, another club, longtime people here in Chicago would probably remember the Thirsty Whale, which was around
Thirsty
for many
Whale.
Years.
Wow.
The Thirsty Whale. It was, for the last several years it was open, it was really like a hair metal club, which will give you some idea of when I was going there.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Enough's Enough pretty much got their start there. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Sure.
But, you know, so just that was a really great, great place. Also really nice people. We actually videotaped one of Enough's Enough's last shows there. We set up a couple cameras, and I have that somewhere. But
well, that'll be on eBay.
Yeah, nah, I don't do that. But, you know, that was just one of those clubs where everyone knew each other, you know, and it was just like the regular hangout. And the sad thing is it's now a McDonald's and a gas station.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of McDonald's and gas stations. I'm not one of those guys that says they're the evil corporate people. But still, it'd be nice to have a club there. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mike, yeah. That's the guy I was standing for. I remember seeing, there's this guy, I wish you were listening, but my friend Slick, you know Slick,
sure.
Who's in Ohio, his name is Ray Byersdorfer, and he's a professor of geology at Youngstown.
And the world's largest Patti Smith fan.
The world's largest Patti Smith fan. I think he was going to CBGB really every night. And I remember we went to see the Plasmatics all the time in San Francisco at the Mabuhay, and maybe it was also a place called the Rocker, no, Wolfgang's or something. We would go to see the Plasmatics all the time. And that was really a really fun time. I guess, you know, it would be good if I got to find out what clubs are having the music those crazy kids listen to and go by. I would love to see. Let's see who. Any ideas who I should go with, Patrick? Patrick's not paying any attention. Let me just talk to Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen?
We're doing great, man. How are you?
Good to hear. Hey, you know, CBGB's obviously a classic, but one of the coolest things they ever did was the Sunday hardcore matinees back in the 80s. You guys ever go to those?
No, never. What was that like?
Hardcore, local, you know, New York City hardcore bands, Token Entry, the Crumbsuckers, Agnostic Front, crazy hardcore bands.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon in the daylight, and I don't remember drinking in there, but I remember drinking quite a bit outside of the place.
I'll bet, yeah.
Yeah, and stumbling out of a dark, dingy place into the afternoon sunlight in New York City is always a strange thing, and it was just a great, great time, and no place, I don't think any place else on the planet did something like that, a Sunday matinee. It was just unbelievable.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a really great idea. They should do Sunday matinees at punk clubs, because then you really get that good, solid AB, you know, when your retinas just burn out. It's even nutty to see a movie in the afternoon. So going to a punk club in the afternoon would be terrific. I would like that. Let's start a punk club in Vegas. Yeah,
absolutely. Your ears and your eyes are ringing when you walk out.
That's
but there's nothing good. I mean, the Bowery Ballroom is in Manhattan. They still have some rock and roll, but you know, there's nothing. CBGB's leaving is a harsh commentary on the rest of the music world in New York. Anyway,
it's a heartbreaker. Thanks so much. And the Heartbreakers played there, of course. We got any good Gmails coming in? A guy's written in and said, "I believe the big club on par with CBGB and the Metro in L.A. would be the Whiskey A Go Go. I don't know for sure though. I'm from New Hampshire. All we really know about are moose and trees." So, what was the club? Was it the Whiskey I played there? It was another club I played there with the Residents. I toured with the Residents for a while, and I played a club in L.A. and a club in, wasn't it the Kabuki or something in San Francisco? There's clubs all over. Here's somebody. Let's talk to Johnny. What's up, Johnny?
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
Never been a boss. How are you?
I'm good. I have a story about the 930 Club. I get the old one. Well, they've moved it since, but the old club was riddled with rats. I think you may remember, like out back, these gigantic rats size of cats.
Yeah.
So I moved to town in 1989. By the way, I work at HFS on the radio station that you're on here, and I go on in a little while after you.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, that's some self-promotion.
Good plug in. Good job.
So I moved in 1989 to Baltimore, and I joined this band called Flood, and our very first show that we played was at the 930 Club, opening for Nirvana on the Bleach Tour and a band called Loop from Great Britain, and I was backstage with Kurt and Chris sharing the tiny dressing room, and while we were sitting there getting ready to go on, this gigantic rat ran across Chris's foot.
That's the way it should be. Well, thanks a lot, man. Have a good show today. Thanks a lot, Johnny. Thank you so much, man. I had to hang up a little bit early on Johnny. He's got the show after us in Baltimore, he said, right?
Cool.
Cool. So we should listen to that. And we're talking about being just a little farewell to CBGB here and keeping up for all the other clubs in the country. And on a total non sequitur, we have this great... Who said this again?
We lost his name.
Okay. I think it was Robert. Was it Robert?
Robert, yeah.
Who sent this great, great song about coming to my 24 party, and he is in the running. Maybe you can... Beat this. If you want to come to my house and watch 24, beat this. Hit it, Patrick. We'll see you tomorrow for a Monkey Tuesday. Oh, what are you going to do now?
Watch 24 with you. Mike Doe, don't you know how much I love that show? I'd be a good house guest. I promise not to make a mess. If you'll let me see the slammer, I'll treat it in a respectful